Matthew chapter 7. Coming toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's only taken us 3 months to cover it. That's a long sermon. That's not an 8 to 12 minute sermonette. All right, that's a sermon, so that's the way the Lord preached. Matthew chapter 7, we're in verse 21 today. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 down to verse number 23, just three verses. Very well known verses. Jesus said in Matthew 7 verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The verses immediately preceding this, verse 15 to 20, the Lord was talking about false prophets. Those that were deceived by others. And there's a lot of people today that are like that. They're deceived by the false prophets. We'll not repeat the lesson from last week, but they come as sheep in wolf's clothing. You can't identify them by their appearance. They will look right and maybe even sound right. And so it takes spiritual discernment to identify the false prophets. Well, this morning we get to a false profession. A false profession. Now, letter M, our 13th section under this council, is counsel about profession. I guess it's fitting that 2 days ago was Friday the 13th, so we should be on the 13th, the letter M, of the Lord's, of the things the Lord counseled us about. And this is about a false profession. False prophets are those that come to deceive others. A false profession is due to self-deception. Someone who thinks they're saved and is not. Do you know anybody like that? We're not trying on this in this lesson to weed out our own congregation, because I'm fairly confident that all of you, knowing your profession of faith, are saved. But how many times have you talked to quote-unquote religious folks and ask them if they're going to heaven when they die? Oh, yes, I go to church. I try to live a good life. That's what this is about. Those that think that they're living a good life or going to church and that that's going to be sufficient to get them into heaven. They have a false profession. They are self-deceived, thinking that those things are good enough to get them into heaven when they die. This is not about apostates. It's not about cults. Those are false prophets, but again, these are those that believe the key doctrines of the Bible. They believe in the virgin birth. They believe in Christ's death on the cross. They're not cults. They're not like those, but they just, they're confident that they're getting to heaven when they're not really even saved. And if we can just back off and look at, and we're preaching on this Sunday nights in the book of Revelation, if we can back off and look at the church age that we're in right now, there are so many in this category that Christianity is just a comfortable profession. They can give God lip service and even moderate their lives to a certain extent and think that that's all that it takes. And that's the worldly philosophy. A new birth is not necessary to religious folks. A conversion experience is not necessary. It's just a matter of having a religious nature and a good heart. That's all they're thinking about. And the Lord is talking about that category of people. Again, not the cults, not the outwardly false teachers, but those religious folks that think they're saved. And they're not. And there is a multitude of them. And we'll see that as we look at the lesson the Lord teaches here this morning. Let's look first of all in verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's number one, the declaration. The declaration that the Lord makes. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's an old Negro spiritual, and when I was studying this the other day, I pulled it up on YouTube to listen to it. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. And that's exactly what the Lord said here. Not everyone that saith unto me. He said, I know somebody, and he talks religious. Doesn't mean he's saved. Doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Well, I know somebody, and they go to church all the time. Doesn't mean they're saved. That's exactly what the Lord's saying here. There are those that fit the pattern outwardly and look like it and even sound like it, but they're not really converted. The declaration against false profession. There are those that are claiming something that they do not have, and many times they don't even realize that they do not have it. So let's look. Not everyone that saith unto me shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Small letter A under the declaration is the rejection. The rejection. Not everyone that saith. Notice that's the key. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. These are those that are guilty of insincerity. Hypocrisy. Saying one thing and not living it. Counting on their church membership, counting on their attendance, counting on their giving, counting on different things to get them into heaven, and just saying, well, Lord, Lord. And the Lord said, not everyone that says that will enter into heaven. There are so many religious folks that say the right thing but do contrary. And that takes us back again to an earlier lesson the Lord talked about, looking at the fruits. And seeing if the conduct backs up the conversation. And the Lord said about these, many will say, Lord, Lord, shall that many, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we need to be aware that not all religious teaching and religious sounding things are necessarily right and good. And that's a key in the day in which we live in, because a lot of folks, I mean, they turn on the television, and if it's a religious channel, they take everything to heart and think it's all right. Well, those fellows and those ladies contradict each other all the time. It's the Bible that guides us in what's right. And there's nothing like the Bible to confuse all those folks that are walking down those religious channels. Because they've been so ingrained with philosophy and what's being aired on there, that when you bring the Bible into it, they kind of discard the Bible because their popular favorite preacher or preacheress teaches one thing, and they're gonna hook into that no matter what the Bible says. And that's exactly what the Lord's addressing. Those that are just insincere and hypocritical in what they're doing. The rejection. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then there's letter B, the requirement. Small letter B, the requirement. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. All right, how are we? We're rejected if it's just talk. The requirement is to do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. You know what the will of the Father is? That you believe on His Son, whom He has sent. That's the will of God the Father. Some folks try to read a work salvation into these verses. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of God. Doing the will of God is not a works-based salvation. In fact, in verse 22, we're going to see that these folks have works. In verse 22, they prophesy in His name, and they cast out devils and do wonderful works. They've got works to back it up. So it's not a works salvation. It's a sincerity issue. It's whether they really mean it. There are a lot, and again, we'll get to the word many in just a moment, but there are a lot of people that make a profession, and it's a false profession. Brother Dobbins was here a week ago Wednesday. We were talking before church, talking about those, and he was talking about the mission field. I think he even expressed it in his video when he was here, that as an American, when he passed out tracts, everybody came and grabbed everything he had. And he thought, well, I'm a spiritual giant. Look at, they're coming to me for gospel tracts. And he found out that if he'd have been handing out toothbrushes, they would have all come to him. It wasn't a matter of what he was handing out, but just he was handing out something and they all came. Folks will come for anything. And we were talking about folks in different countries like that, that will make a profession of faith just to please the American. Just to please, not in an effort not to offend. And they'll repeat any prayer, they'll say anything. But it doesn't do any good. And a lot of times in evangelistic work, we get somebody to say something and repeat after us and do what we want them to do, and it's absolutely worthless. Nothing ever comes from it. It's a false profession. And the bad part of it sometimes is it can give somebody the assurance that they're going to heaven when they're not, because they just repeated something after me. And so the requirement is not just to say something. Not everyone that saith unto me, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's a lot of false fruit, a lot of phony converts. And again, I'm thankful that I'm not the Lord, I'm not the judge, I'm not the one that determines which professions are real and which are false, but there's just a lot of false ones. And the Lord said, it's not just saying, Lord, Lord, but doing the will of my Father which is in heaven. Again, emphasizing that doing that will is not a work salvation, but a sincerity from the heart. Of when we pray what we're praying, we really understand what we're doing. We do that with children downstairs in the junior church, the Sunday school department. Make sure they really understand what they're doing before they do it. Sometimes we're not as careful with adults in making sure they understand and know what they're doing before they do it. And so the Lord said there's going to be a whole lot of folks standing there thinking they should have the right to enter into heaven by some profession of faith, but it was a false profession. So number one in verse 21 is the declaration. Secondly, in verse number 22 is the defense. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. They speak in their defense when the Lord says, not everyone that says will enter into heaven. Then they will defend themselves by their actions. Defend themselves by their righteous outward acts. That's the nature of a false profession. Well, I must be saved because look what I do. I must be saved because look what, well, let's look at everything you do. Not just the things you do that you count as righteous acts, but let's look at everything you do to determine whether or not you really have the fruit of a born-again Christian. And so the Lord answers their defense. There are those who are lacking in a real true profession will be defensive. Now, we've all seen that if you've witnessed to somebody. If you've knocked on somebody's door and you ask them, do you know for sure if you died today you go to heaven? Well, I've been baptized. Well, I go to the church down the street on the corner. Oh, yeah, what's the name of that church? They don't even know the name of it. That's kind of fun sometimes to quiz people like that. But they'll base it on what they do or where they're going. And when you say, well, you know, the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. 9 times out of 10, that's where the conversation ends. They shut the door. They close it down. They get defensive because they think that what they believe or what they do should be sufficient, and they're not going to hear anything else. And that's what the Lord's talking about here. Some folks, the Lord says, not everybody that says is entering the heaven, so they get defensive. Well, Lord, look what I've done. I remember when I was in the early days of our church, the place that I worked at would let me print off our prayer list every Wednesday night. And so every Tuesday night at home, I'd type it up, and Wednesday I'd take it into work. And as long as I brought my own paper, they gave me permission to use the printer, so I would print our prayer list off. And I remember one time there was, I don't know what I did, but something was wrong. And so I ended up taking the one copy and throwing it in the trash can. Well, one of the secretaries apparently goes through the trash can very often. She must. And she pulled that prayer list out of there. And on the salvation list of the prayer list, it said co-workers. It said pastors, co-workers. And so she confronted me with that. She said, you don't think that I'm going to heaven? And it began a conversation with her. And I said, well, I'm not necessarily saying you. I've got a lot of coworkers, but are you going to heaven? Boy, it got turned up a couple notches right there. Why wouldn't you think I'm going to heaven? Of course I'm going to heaven. And it just, she got hot. That's what the Lord's talking about. They get defensive. And that's a good sign. You know, they say when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that gets hit yelps the loudest. And sometimes when you're witnessing to somebody and asking them about salvation and pinpointing, you know, it's not by baptism, it's not by church membership, it's not by works, it's by faith in Christ. And they get upset and they get hot. That's a real indication that they're living on a false profession. They're living on a hope of something that's not going to get them through in the time of judgment. So here are those that get defensive. That's the natural reaction of the false professor when you begin to question them about their eternal life. Let me ask you this. If somebody came and knocked on your door from, you know, and a good Bible-believing, soul-winning people, they came and knocked on your door and you answered the door and they said, hello, we're visiting from such and such a church. We'd just like to ask you today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven when you die? Would that bother you? Would you get upset and mad and slam the door? Or would you with a joyful heart say, yes, absolutely. I know I'm going to heaven. I've received Christ as my Savior. Now, I'm not talking about the JWs coming to your door and asking wacko stuff. I'm talking about somebody that asked you about the sincerity of your faith. You and I would not have any problem with that. We wouldn't get defensive about that. We know we're saved and going to heaven. But when you don't have that, you get defensive. And the Lord's talking about that in verse 22. Many will say unto me in that day. Notice small letter A under this defense, the crowd. The crowd. Many. Many will say unto me in that day. You know, the Bible says as far as society is concerned, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. In the eyes of society, it's many going to hell, and the few that are saved going to heaven. Well, now we find that within the realm of professing Christianity, many do not really are not possessors. They're just professors. They profess a faith they do not possess. And Jesus says about them, many will say unto you, many means it's a larger crowd than the few. If you're saved today, you need to thank God that you have, I don't want to say you have found, you need to thank God that you have come to the realization that you were a sinner, needed Christ as your Savior, and trusted Him for eternal life. You need to thank God for that, because think of how many folks have not come to that place in their life. And how many religious folks are hoping their entrance into heaven is based on how they live. Many will say unto me in that day. Churches are full of unconverted people. And many times the bigger the church, the bigger the number of unconverted people. We're not against big churches. But a lot of big churches are big because they've got a watered down gospel. You don't have to make a sincere profession of faith. Many churches are larger because they're comfortable for folks. They make them feel good. And Jesus said, many will say unto me in that day. So those that are false professors are many. Small letter A is the crowd, then small letter B is the claim. The claim. Notice they said in verse 22, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful works? Their claim is because of what they have said, Lord, Lord, what they have done, these three things, that should be enough to get them into heaven. There's no sincerity of faith. There's no repentance of sin. There's no calling on the name of the Lord for salvation. It's all based on works and words. Notice that. Number one, their words. Have we not prophesied in thy name? See, this is a language of bragging. It's a language of self-reliance. They're actually arguing with the Lord. Now let me ask you this. If you thought you were going to get into heaven, do you think arguing with God would get you in? If you get mad and red in the face and start yelling at God, do you think He's going to change His mind and open the door and tell Peter, open the door and let you in because you got mad and proved your point? I don't think it's going to work that way in heaven. I don't think it's going to work that way with God. This is off the track a little bit, but I was at the meeting Thursday night with the village council about putting the storage unit behind the church back here. And they notified me that we cannot put it back there. And they talked about the width of the alley and this thing and that thing. Long story short, when we talked about it, they said, we can't put it there, but we will give you a variance to put it on that new lot that you put back there. You technically can't put it there. So anyways, we talked it out. I argued to a certain extent about putting it back behind the building and presented my case and we all did it in a reasonable tone of voice and everything. And after they're all done, they said, preacher, we appreciate it. Because we've had other churches in here that fight for their rights, but they don't do it quite as calmly as you did. We've had them get red in the face and yell and scream and even cuss at us. And so I asked them this question. I said, well, let me ask you this. If I had done that, would that have changed your mind? And of course, you know what the answer is. No. So why do that? Blow your testimony, ruin your working relationship with them, and get turned down anyways. This way, we talked about it amicably. Got them to give a variance somewhere else when they couldn't give it there. And again, a lot of discussion went on with it. But that's what it's all about. Our words, our language, everything. These folks are arguing with God. Not everyone that says Lord is getting into heaven. But Lord, have we not done this and have we not done that and have we not done the other thing? Like they're going to change His mind. So their words, have we not prophesied in thy name? You know what these are? These are preachers. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Did you know there's a lot of preachers that are not going to heaven when they die? Now that sounds like a very startling statement to most, but it's a true statement. Just because somebody stands behind a platform or a pulpit doesn't mean they're saved, regenerate, and born again. In fact, probably the vast, vast majority of those standing behind pulpits on a Sunday morning are not regenerate, not born again, not going into heaven. How many times have you heard, and some of you have said this to me, we went to this other church, this other denomination for many years of our life. We never heard the gospel. We never heard it presented. We never heard that we had to put our faith and trust in Christ to go to heaven when we die. Well, that's because you had unregenerate preachers in the platform preaching to unregenerate people, and they're all going to die without Christ. That's a terrible reality, but it is a reality. Just because it's a church building, you got a church sign in front, and somebody behind the pulpit, doesn't mean the gospel message is going out. And their words, have we not prophesied in thy name? And then number two, there's their works. Their works. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Notice it says three times in verse 22, in thy name. Have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? You know, not everybody that does everything in the name of Jesus is doing the Lord's work. I think of the seven sons of Sceva. Do you remember them in Acts chapter 19? They tried to cast out devils. And when they went through the exorcism ritual of casting out the devils said to them, they actually accomplished it. The devils came out of the man. But then the devils said to the sons of Sceva, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? And they attacked those seven sons of Sceva. They were able to cast the devils out. But it sure caused them some problems. Not everybody that's doing things that look like it's the glory of God or the power of God is the power of God. That's what these are saying. We've done many wonderful works. We've cast out devils. Their works. False professors. Yet they could cast out devils. Was not Judas Iscariot one of the 12? And to him was given the ability to cast out unclean spirits. Judas Iscariot was able to do it. Was he a professor of faith in Christ? No. I mean, he was a false professor. He hung around the right crowd. He was right with the right people, most of the time doing the right things. But when push came to shove, he was not a possessor of faith, merely a professor. So by their works, they can have the correct theology. In thy name, in thy name, in thy name. A church can have the correct belief. Believe the Bible is the Word of God. Believe Jesus Christ is the Savior of mankind. Believe that He died on the cross, that He was virgin born. They can believe all those things and yet not take that step of faith and really trust Christ as Savior. That's why the devil is so successful in his deception. He doesn't care if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He believes that. The evil spirits all profess that. He doesn't mind if we have the right theology. He just doesn't want us to be born again. He doesn't want to lose our souls. So churches are not a problem for the devil unless they're preaching the gospel strongly and emphasizing conversion and faith in Christ. So their claim, their words, and their works. So number one is the declaration. Number two is the defense. That brings us to number three, and that's the doom. D-O-O-M. In verse 23, Jesus said, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Their doom. It's sad. It's tragic. It's ominous that there are many walking around today with a religious veneer. I was in the hospital yesterday seeing Brother Bill's dad. And as I walked out, this elderly couple was coming in. And he's no doubt a chaplain or something. He was dressed in a suit. And I don't say this to be critical, but, you know, he's an older man and dressed in a suit that he probably might have got married in about 60 years ago. He was just an old, old suit. And he had a big cross around his neck. And he was carrying big books or something like that and just had the outward appearance of religion all over him. And I don't know the man, and we just passed as I was getting off the elevator and he was getting on. But that's kind of typical of those that have all the outward dressings of everything, but not the faith in Christ. If you're ever in the hospital and they send a chaplain in, when that chaplain comes to visit you, ask them if they've been born again. Ask them if they've ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and are 100% sure that when they die, they're going to go to heaven. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to get an answer that's not sufficient. It's the dressings of religion. And the sad thing is, those folks are going to hell just like the worst bum on the street. Just like the biggest drug addict or murderer or anything else. It's a sad, tragic end. Notice in verse 23, under the doom, we see small letter A, the day. In verse 23 it says, and then, that's the key word in verse 20, and then will I profess. Right now, they're hiding behind that veneer. Right now, they've got that religious front. And they're saying the right things, Lord, Lord. They're doing the right things, visiting the sick. But the Bible says that in that day, and then will I say unto them. Notice back in verse 22. Many will say unto me in that day. There's the key. When is the then? Well, it's in that day. The words that day always speak of judgment. That day speaks of judgment. 2 Timothy 1:12. I'll read it. You can just write it down. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says this. That's 1 Timothy. I knew that wasn't going to work. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. All right, those two words, that day, indicate the day of judgment. It doesn't matter what you say now. It doesn't matter what you do now. If it's not motivated by faith in Jesus Christ, in regeneration and redemption, it's all going to show forth in that day. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. All right, that day is the day of judgment. And these folks that are getting by on their religious behavior, in that day, it's not going to fly. In that day, they're going to say, Lord, Lord. In that day, they're going to say, didn't we do this and do that? And the Lord's going to say to them, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. So there's the day. Then small letter B, there's the deity. In verse 23, it says, and then will I profess unto you, I never knew you. See, it's not what we know, it's what the Lord knows. He knows those that belong to Him. He said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. The Lord knows those that belong to Him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Lord knoweth them that are His. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the judge. It's not up to you whether you get to go to heaven. It's not up to the preacher whether you get to go to heaven. It's not up to the church whether you get to go to heaven. It's up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, and then in that day I will profess I never knew you. Letter C, notice the decision. I never knew you. Now this is not a question on the Lord's omniscience. He knows everything. He knows everybody. But now he's talking about possession. Whether or not we're his sheep. Because his sheep hear his voice. And he says to these that said these things and did these things, the Lord says, I never knew you. Now, you know, I never knew you. That sounds like a pretty negative complaint. You know what that is? That's your assurance of salvation right there as a believer. Because you can't lose your eternal. The Lord can't say, I knew you and that I didn't know you. You don't lose your salvation. You're not one day His sheep and then you become His unsheep. Not even such a word as an unsheep. All right, you can't lose your salvation. He's saying to those, I never knew you. You were never saved. You were never regenerate. You were never born again. You never put your faith and trust and reliance in me and me alone. I never knew you. So the Lord's decision is based on our faith toward Him. And that needs to be the clear message of the gospel when we present it. That it's only by faith in Jesus Christ. A lot of folks, again, think they're going to heaven from something other than that. And that's what the Lord's talking about in this context. So letter C was the decision, I never knew you. Letter D, the departure. He says in verse 23, I never knew you, depart from me. Can you imagine how frightful it will be at the day of judgment to stand before the God of all eternity and hear Him say, depart from me. There is no scarier scene than that. That's an eternal declaration. Depart from me. We know the Bible says in Matthew 25, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. So the Lord is talking to false professors, religious people in this context. Those that think they have something they don't have. You know, sometimes we are guilty of backing off from someone because they claim to have something. So we back off. Realize that when we back off, we're backing off from something that's going to determine their eternal destiny. Depart from me. I never knew you. What an awful sentence. The Lord actually is quoting David from Psalm 6:8 when he says this, because David said, Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. David wanted those to depart from him. And the Lord Jesus, as the seed of David, is going to one day declare, depart from me. Again, can we say those words are going to ring in the ears of some preachers, some Sunday school teachers, some trustees? Men, you know, we talk to them all the time. Well, I'm a trustee in my church, or I'm a deacon in my church, and it's a church of a denomination that doesn't preach the gospel, doesn't present the plan of salvation. And these men, hoping that those things are good enough to get them through, are going to hear those words, depart from me. What a scary scene that's going to be. Lastly, number E, the denunciation. There's our big $5 word for the day. D-E-N-U-N-C-I-A. Had to get the CIA in there. T-I-O-N, denunciation. What does the Lord say? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Folks, the Lord hates sin. And the reason they're having to depart is because of iniquity. You know what God sees when He looks at a sinner? When God looks at a sinner, it doesn't matter if they're the trustee of a church or a drunk in an alleyway. God sees the same thing. He sees iniquity. It might be dirtier in our view, in our opinion, from one to the other, but the Lord looks at it all the same. And when He looks at a lost sinner, He sees iniquity. When He looks at a saved sinner, He sees the blood of Christ. What a difference between the two. And that's the Lord's basis for decision. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. We need to be, as believers, departing from iniquity, keeping ourselves holy and pure before the Lord, making sure that our profession is made known to all men, because others are watching, others are beholding. We think, well, we can act the way we want to and say what we want to and do what we want to. Oh, we can. We can. But it has an effect on those that are watching. All right. Counsel about false profession. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the reality, the power, the depth of it. And Father, help us not to be surface Christians.